We are encouraged by a leader who inspires us to move ahead. We can follow someone who believes we can do the task and is willing to work with us all the way. We love working with leaders like that, don't we? We love to follow leaders who have faith in us. We love to follow leaders who will give us the room to fail, but will be there to pick us up and encourage us if that should happen. We love to follow leaders who will allow us to do our job, but is always there willing to help us when we seek help. It's good to work with a leader like that. And if you have ever worked with anyone like that, you're lucky. And if you're not, you truly have missed something. Many of us have worked with leaders who will give us instructions on what to do. I think every job we've had, somebody at our work has been like that. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong. Some of them have followed leaders that we have followed leaders who have no clue as to what to do. They may just sit in their office. On the one hand, you may have worked with a leader who makes you do it their way. If you succeed, they're quick to take the praise. But if you fail, they're just as quick to blame. Another type of leader is quick to blame their problems and failures on everyone but themselves. One type of leader will get a lot done right or wrong, and the other will accomplish very little. I remember two different stories about a piano teacher. One told of a student who worked hard and served under a great teacher. He practiced 10 to 12 hours a day. He put his heart and his soul into his work. His instructor would always push for the best, and nothing less than perfection was going to work. The student worked for years under the master. The young man became a great pianist, and one day he returned to his hometown to give a concert, and he invited the master who had instructed him. The day of the great concert came, the house was packed. The student played his heart out. The music moved the people. When the concert was over, the crowd erupted in applause, and they gave the student a standing ovation. But those observing the young man noticed that he began crying, and he left the stage. The crowd cried out, "Encore! Encore!" But the young student refused to return. The stage manager pleaded with the young man to go back, but he refused. And the stage manager asked the young man why he was so upset. The young man took him to the corner of the curtain, and he pointed up to the balcony to an old man who was sitting there. The old man was not applauding, and he definitely was not standing. The stage manager asked who the elderly gentleman was. And with tears in his eyes, the young man said, "This is my master, and he is not applauding. I worked so hard to get his approval, but I have fallen short." There are pastors I know who would use this illustration to tell you that you need to keep trying. They would say God requires so much of you, and more so than what the world requires. They will tell you that the master would be mad at you. They will tell you that God requires absolute perfection. And I am saying to you that simply is not true. God is always there with his love and with his grace. He's always with us in our problems and during our difficulties. God's always there to wipe the mud off. God is, in fact, our biggest cheerleader. Imagine him standing in heaven, applauding and encouraging us to keep going. God simply wants our love and a relationship with us. You see, that's why God created human species. He wanted to have a relationship with those he created. He created us so he could spend time with us. He knows that we're not perfect. He is so happy that we are trying to please Him. And He loves us even with our imperfections. That is, after all, what grace is all about. He hears the beautiful music and not the mistakes. God sees us through the eyes of Jesus. Now, there's another story about a piano master that's more like God to me. Pastor Charles Swindoll tells the story entitled, Don't Quit. Paderewski, the famous composer pianist, was scheduled to perform a great concert in America. It was an evening to remember. Everyone was decked out in black tuxedos or long evening dresses, a high society extravaganza. And present in the audience that evening was a mother with her fidgety 9-year-old son. Weary of waiting, he squirmed constantly in his seat. His mother was in hopes that her son would be encouraged to practice the piano if he could just hear the immortal Paderewski at the keyboard. So against his wishes, he went to the concert with his mother. And as she was turned to talk with friends, her son could stay seated no longer. And he slipped away from her side, strangely drawn to the ebony concert grand Steinway and its leather-tufted stool on the huge stage, flooded with blinding lights. Without much notice from the sophisticated audience, the boy sat down on the piano bench, staring wide-eyed at the black and white keys. He placed his small, trembling fingers in the right position and began to play chopsticks. The roar of the crowd was hushed as hundreds of frowning faces pointed in his direction. Irritated and embarrassed, they began to shout, "Get that boy away from there! Who would bring a kid that young here? Where is his mother? Somebody stop him!" And backstage, the master overheard the sounds out front. He quickly figured out what was happening. So hurriedly, he grabbed his coat and he rushed towards the stage. Without one word of announcement, he stooped over behind the boy, reached around both sides of him, and began to improvise a counter melody to harmonize and to enhance chopsticks. As the two of them played together, Paderewski kept whispering in the boy's ear, "Keep going. Don't quit. Keep on playing. Don't stop. Don't quit." And that's how God would respond. We hammer away on a project. That project seems as insignificant as chopsticks would in a concert hall. And about the time we're ready to give up, along comes the master who leans over and whispers, "Keep going. Don't quit. Keep on playing. Don't stop. Don't quit." As he improvises on our behalf, providing just the right touch at just the right moment. When we finally simply try, he will stand in the balcony and applaud louder than anyone else. The Lord is a great and loving Father. His desire is not to punish us or to scorn us, but to love us, because that is what grace is all about. The central text for our today's message is found in your worship folders, and it's Jeremiah 29:11-13. And over the years, I've shared this verse with you numerous times. It's very personal to Teresa and I. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." James, thank you. God is the kind of leader who will never leave us. He will always be there for us. He will carry us when we cannot walk. When we are down, it will be God who reaches down with his loving hands and picks us up. He will dust off our clothes, put some peroxide on our scrapes, kiss it better, and send us back to try again. He knows the future. God's plans for us are good. They're full of hope. Now, this does not mean that we will be spared pain, suffering, or hardship. God never promised us that. As a matter of fact, He tells us that there will be many trials and tribulations in our lives. He tells us that we're not out of this world, but we are separate from this world. He tells us that the world will hate us because of Him. But He also promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He tells us that He will not let us go through those trials alone, but He'll be right there with us. He also tells us that God will see us through all the disappointments in life, through all the pains in life, through all the hurt that's done by the ones we call our friends. He will be there when people that we have placed our trust in either hurt or fail us. Through all the failures in life and the successes of life, He will be there. He also promises that someday He will rescue us from the world of pain and from heartache. He also promises that He's preparing for each of us a wonderful home in heaven someday. God does not forget His people. He has not forgot the people of Richmond Community Church. He did not forget the Israelites when they did not do the things that He told them to do. He will not forget us when we sin. You see, even though His people were being held captive in Babylon, He had a plan for them to give them a new beginning. He had a plan with a new purpose. He was going to turn them into a new people. And in times of deep trouble, He may be preparing you, as He did the people of Judah, for a new beginning with Him at the center. God needs us to make Him a priority in our life. He needs us to call upon His name, and He will be here. Let's read verse 11 again. "For I know the plans I have for you." That statement can be a scary thing, or it can be a great thing. If you hear nothing else this morning, please know that God is not mad at you. He loves you, and He is concerned about you. When He knows that you are going to do something stupid, He steps in and provides a deterrent for you. He knows those times when we're ready to slam our car into that idiot in front of us. He knows the time when we're ready to give up on our spouse. He knows the times when we want to find a desert island and hide. He knows all these things. And yet He's there. He's there to help us through all those times. Now, He did not put this verse in the Bible to say that He plans for us and that we're messing them up. He put this in the Bible to tell us that we have a friend who knows the secrets we might not tell anyone else. Steve Brown says, "If people knew us, really knew us, I mean the thoughts we think and the things we do when no one's around, people would not like us very well." I tend to agree at times, but God does, and He still loves us anyway. Isn't it awesome to know that God has a plan for our lives? He has a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. He has a plan to prosper you, to prosper me. He has plans to give us hope and a future. And that is awesome. God wants us to have peace in our lives. He wants us to prosper. He gives us hope. And He can give that hope and a future. That hope and future is not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Without Jesus, there is no hope. The Bible is very clear. There are many these days who say there are many ways into heaven and many gods, and they will all get you to that same place. And that statement is not what the Bible says. Let me give you the hope straight from our Savior in John 14, 1 through 14. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare for you, to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going." And the disciples asked the same question that we ask if we would be honest. In verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And in verses 6 through 14, we see how Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well from now on. You do know him, and you have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that would be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least, believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Jesus said, "If you believe in me, you shall be saved." He said, "We're encouraged by a leader who inspires us to move ahead." Richmond community, God has told us that he has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us and not harm us. Jesus taught us that God's plan tells us we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So he calls us to take care of the poor and the needy. He tells us that we are to take care of the children and the widows. Our message this morning began with the words, "We are encouraged by a leader who inspires us to move ahead." We can follow someone who believes we can do the task and is willing to work with us all the way. We love working with leaders like that. We love to follow leaders who have faith in us. We love to follow leaders who would give us the room to fail, but would be there to pick us up and encourage us. We love to follow leaders who allow us to do our job. He is always there to help us when we seek help. And it's great to work with a leader like that. God sent Jesus to show us how to activate the plan that God has for us. And over the century, God has called forth leaders to continue to show how he loves his people and to show them the plan that he has for their lives. And God has called a leader to Richmond community and understand God's plan to prosper us and not to harm us. He has seen and accepted the vision to love our neighbors as ourselves, to take care of the poor and the needy, to take care of the children and the widows. Go and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded us. 2 weeks ago, we saw that when the Israelites returned from their exile and saw the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed, they experienced discouragement. They suffered from fatigue, frustration, failure, and fear. Nehemiah taught them they could overcome those feelings through resting their bodies, reorganizing their lives, remembering the Lord, and resisting discouragement. Last week, we recalled that Jesus has, is, and will work throughout our lives. God provided aids to assist his people in remembering what he had done for them. We saw how stones became important monuments. We were reminded of the monument that Jacob built after God promised to honor the covenant that he'd given Jacob's father Abraham. Later, we remembered the rock God told Moses to strike to provide water for his people after they escaped from Egypt. Then they saw that when Moses was tired during a battle, God instructed that he sit and rest while holding up his arms. We recalled how God wrote his Ten Commandments on a stone. And after God provided a plan to Joshua on how to cross the flooded plain, or the Jordan, he instructed the priests to build a monument to the event. We concluded last week's message by recalling God's plan to restore us into fellowship with him through the death and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. The promise we found in Jeremiah 29:11 is just as valid today as it was the day that God shared it with Jeremiah. For I know the plans for you, to prosper you and not to harm you. And I challenge you right now to become like Aaron and Ur. When Moses' arms became tired because he held them up in battle like God told him to do, they found the stone for Moses to sit on, and they stood beside Moses and held his arms up. God has shared his plan for Richmond Community with Pastor Val. He has accepted that vision and begun to reveal it to us. Let us stand beside Pastor Val, provide him with the rest he needs from time to time, support him by lifting him up when he needs help, and follow his leadership as we experience that plan from God. I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.